Thank you, Church. I feel very welcome, feel very warm in this place. I want to first and foremost say thank you to John and the leadership team of the church for inviting Compassion to be a part of the service today. I really feel at home. I really do feel at home. It's beautiful in Brixham. I arrived yesterday in the evening. Lovely people so far, and I usually feel intimidated because I'm originally from Ghana in West Africa, and English is not my first language. So when I find myself among English people who English is their first language, it's always intimidating, and I want to be careful. I pick my words right, and I want to make sure I'm communicating. But I've seen this morning the warm welcome that I've received, and I know I'm at home. I'm with brothers and sisters, so I feel at ease. And I'm going to share from that point of view. Amen.
Yeah.
So this morning, I'm going to share with us from the book of Luke. I'm going to speak from Luke chapter number 10. And I'll read from 25 to 37. This is a passage that I believe we're all very familiar with as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I think Jesus, in a way, sums up his whole assignment here on earth when he was sent by the Father. To come and die for you and I. And I read, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is a reading of the good news. It's so important for me when I read the scripture that this man who asked Jesus this question had ulterior motive. But I'm very happy. I think for me, I don't know about you, but for me personally, I'm very happy, regardless of his ulterior motive, that he asked this question. Because in my walk as a Christian, Jesus answers all I need to do in here. That love the God, your God, your Lord, with all your heart. Love your neighbor. Do this too, and you are well on your way to eternal life. Straightforward. That's it. That's the whole reason for our calling as Christians. And you know, Jesus sends us out there in the great commission to go out and be the salt and light, making disciples of all nations. It comes out of this: if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with everything that is within you, you go out there and you represent the kingdom. Amen. This man, as we are told, it is assumed that he was a Jew. But we don't have much information about who this person is. But the one thing we know is that he was broken, he was wounded. I mean, he couldn't help himself. There was no hope for him. He was almost dead. And he needed help urgently. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus tells us, I don't know why he chose to use people like John, because John is the only minister, well, maybe the other ministers in this room, but the priest got there and decided to look the other way. John wouldn't do that, I know for sure. I met him this morning. The Levite, who is also, in a way, an assistant pastor, an assistant priest, also got there and looked the other way. Now, it is very easy for us sometimes when you are faced with some very difficult situation to go for the easier option. This is not my problem. It's someone else's problem. I'm going to go far away from it. But if God is calling you to be a part of that problem, then you have to be a part of it. Amen. The Bible tells us that the Good Samaritan, well, it doesn't necessarily call him Good Samaritan, but as is the title in the Bible, that he's the Good Samaritan because of this. This man decided to go near and have compassion. Now, the one thing that we need to know is that the priest, the Levite, they had empathy, they had sympathy, they had pity on this man. But what the Samaritan had that these two did not have is compassion. Now, there is a component of action that comes with compassion that the other synonyms do not have. So I can have pity on someone and not be moved to action. When you have compassion on something or someone, you are called to action. You put yourself in the place of that person or that situation and you want to, you know, help. Now, the Bible does not describe compassion the same way that the dictionary defines it. The dictionary tells us what compassion is, but the Bible tells us what examples we should be when we talk about compassion. And I'm going to read a few from scriptures to us if we don't mind this morning. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. This is found in Proverbs chapter number 31, verse 8 to 9. And I read from the NIV. Speak up. So if you have compassion for someone and you find that they are being beaten, they are being treated unfairly, you just have to speak up, isn't it? But sometimes the safest thing to do is to be quiet, because you don't want to be met with criticism. You don't want to be met with the challenge that, why are you speaking up? It's none of your business. Stay in your own corner. And mind you, the Samaritan, as we are told of, stopped everything he was doing. His whole journey was interrupted by this man. The others decided to go on their way because they had an assignment. And they had very good reasons why they wouldn't be able to help this man. Sometimes we find very good reasons. Sometimes our reasons are just too good that we cannot be a part of the problem. We cannot help make it right. But the Samaritan stopped. If he was going somewhere that is time-bound, he put that aside. If he was going somewhere that required him to be at a certain time, that is put aside. And he commits his resources to help a complete stranger that he's never known before. And for me, Christ is calling us to be like this person in our walk with him. Because he's giving us the great commandment, the great commission, go out there. How do you go out there when you decide to be quiet and not speak up? And to be by yourself, stay in your own, you know, closet and serve him. It's not possible. And I'm not saying this to criticize us as a church. I'm saying this to encourage us, because we are doing great things. I mean, from what I know with your partnership with Compassion, you are ministering to children and you are helping release them from poverty in Jesus' name. That is amazing. Those children, I know from what we've seen, I've worked in Compassion for 13 years and I've seen the outcome of what sponsorship, what you know, support that's for the children. I know a child who was raised in a church, in a program, in Rwanda. And today, as we speak, he's grown, he's become the leader of the same church that he was in as a child, as a boy. He's become the pastor, and he's established a pastor's discipleship network, ministering to thousands of pastors in East Africa. And this is because one person came alongside him and his family to give him some support. It's amazing what God can do when we ordinary people align with his will and allow ourselves to be used by him to be a blessing to those who are in need and need his support. Now the second passage I want to read is taken from 1 John chapter number 3, verse 18. It says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongues, but with actions and in truth." You can't have compassion and not back it with action. Sometimes when you have compassion, it costs you a lot of money. Sometimes it will cost you less money. Other times it will cost you a lot of time. Sometimes it will cost you just a little bit of time. Sometimes it will cost you money and time. But if God is calling you to you, he makes the resources available to you. He challenges you, and if you put yourself up for it, he makes the resources available. I have seen time and time again when God has called us to do something as a family, and we're like, considering all of our bills and our incoming, it's not a chance we can do this. But we take it on. We take him on in faith. And then from nowhere, God makes resources available. Amen. The next passage is 1 Peter 4, verse 10. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." You can't say there is nothing for me to offer because I don't have anything. As I mentioned, sometimes it's just a listening ear that you need to offer someone who is needing some kind of comfort. Sometimes that's all it takes, to be there and just sit and listen and pray with people. And that's all it takes. You don't have to look the other way because someone is suffering and you don't know what to say. Just ask the Lord, "How can I help?" And in this country, I'm very, very happy to say that we have a very generous country in this country. We have people who have good heart. I've been to several churches and I've seen the effort that people put together to help the needy. Food banks, donations, sponsorship programs like Compassion. And it's amazing when I feel overwhelmed every time I come in contact with people who do this. Because I've seen in the news, on BBC News, when a father goes to shoplift baby food because he can't afford baby food. This person, I don't think, is a thief. But out of desperation, like this man by the roadside who was beaten and left for half dead. His situation was so desperate. I have a 6-month-old baby, so I can identify very much with this person. If you find yourself in a desperate situation and you can't help it, for your baby, I think you'd do anything. When I read the news, I genuinely was broken. But then Christians like ourselves, we come together and we pull resources together in food banks to be able to support people like this. So let me stand in the gap as an ambassador of Christ, as a brother to you, to say thank you for whatever you're giving to, be it food banks, be it Compassion sponsorship. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Because I was raised in Ghana in poverty, and I know what poverty does. Poverty can speak to you in a language that only you can understand and no one else will understand. There are times where you want to stand up and do certain things for yourself and poverty will tell you, sit down. You can't be a part of it. Just sit down and you obey the voice. There are times where you feel you want to put yourself out there. Poverty will tell you, you are nobody. Who is calling you to be a part of this? just hide your face somewhere. You can't show your face because you're not the right person. And the good news about organizations like the one I work for, Compassion, is that we come alongside to try and rewrite the script for children who live in poverty. Because when a child grows up with all of these voices in the head, you grow up and you know that there is nothing good that you have to offer to your generation. The devil speaks to you very loudly at the very vulnerable state in life. Let me read the next scripture. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. And this is taken from Zechariah 7, verse 9 to 10. The last passage I'll read is, therefore, if you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, if any comfort for his love, from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Philippians 2, 1 to 2. This is what Christ is calling us to do. The Bible tells us in John 3, 16 that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son to come and die. For me, when I read the parable of the Good Samaritan, I see the Samaritan being Jesus. And I see myself as the dead man or the half-dead man laying by the street. I was broken, by the thieves. The very dignity of humanity was taken away from him. But it had to take Christ to come and stand in the gap. So the very message of Christianity, the very message of the good news, is that of an intervention by the Father sending his Son to come and stand in the gap for you and I. The spiritual definition, therefore, of compassion involves acting to alleviate the suffering of others. And for me, I would want to conclude this talk and then go on to my compassion presentation this morning with a quote. This is not from anyone, it's just for my little head. Bear with me if it's not, The greatest people are those who walk in love. The greatest people are those who walk in love and compassion, and not those who move mountains or those who only have deep understanding of spiritual matters. Wow. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but if you don't agree with me, then I'll back it with a scripture. So then you cannot. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 2, the Bible says, and I'll read just the 13th verse, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So, in fact, it's not even my quote anymore, it's the Bible. I just paraphrase it in a way that I can easily understand. So, let me move on to my presentation this morning. And you understand probably better why the Holy Spirit led me to share this passage with us. John, is it good to go?
Yeah, you have a clicker.
Yes, okay.
Should this work?
It's working on
there. Oh, dear. Wow. Sorry. Maybe put it in the presentation. Let's try again. Oh, there we go.
So you see, like the Samaritan, we have people here, in fact, as a congregation, I'd like to refer to all of you because even though individuals are the ones partnering with Compassion to help children in poverty, I see it as a community. And as a community, as a church, since you partnered with Compassion, we've seen 23,000 hours spent by children in the program. And as I said, when you're moved by compassion, there is action that backs it. And because of that compassion that you had and partnered with Compassion, you've enabled children to spend time in the program. So in essence, you've given your time by way of monetary donations. So these 23,000 hours that have been spent in the program, a whole lot has been done, including programming the minds of the children, including ministering the gospel to them, including making sure that we are preaching the good news and helping them in such a way that they will become responsible and fulfilled Christian adults. That has been enabled by your donations. And 8,000 plus nutritious meals have been given to the children in the program. And I'm very happy to say that even in COVID, when we were in lockdown and parents could not go out and do their usual business to help their family, Compassion and the church, the local church, was still there administering to the needs of the vulnerable people that we minister to. Medical checkups have been done for the children, and this is particularly very important because a body that is not healthy cannot give much. And we find that most of the children, in fact, all the children that we minister to live in very, very difficult situations, so much so that it affects their health. I have seen times in Ghana where we've had to fly children to India for open heart surgery because it was cheaper to do in India, and also it was easier to do it in India because of the facilities they had. This is to say that once you partner with Compassion to help a child, Compassion makes sure that regardless of the cost involved of health care, if the child needs it, they get it.
Right.
And the spiritual aspect of it, we've given 31 Bibles to children since their partnership began. So at the current day, as we speak today, there are 19 children being sponsored by this church. And over the period of time, 31 Bibles have been given. 31 because it could be that there were 31 children at one point in time being sponsored here from this church. Sometimes sponsors cancel their sponsorship. Other times children move from project to a different project. So that would account for the 31 number. And I also said that when you're moved by compassion, it could cost you money sometimes. Over the past year, you've given 8,000, almost 9,000 plus in donations to the children that you sponsor. And this goes to help with your education, it goes to help with healthcare and all other areas of their lives to ensure that, again, they are growing to become responsible and fulfilled Christian adults. And 27 additional gifts were given to children. Some of these gifts will be birthday gifts and other gifts that are given from this church. And importantly as well, when a sponsor writes to a child, most of the time they are sharing things like things that inspire the children, things that encourage the children, and praying with them, and it makes a massive difference to them. Because when a child lives in poverty, most of the time the caregivers they live with, out of frustration and sometimes the difficult situation they find themselves in, it's almost impossible for them sometimes to find any nice words to speak to their children. I grew up in poverty and I love my mom to bits. I love my mom, she's my first love and everything. But when times were hard, as a mother, when she faced a little bit of frustration and you are being too difficult, you face the brunt of it because you're being naughty. And sometimes the words she says will not build. But they stay in your subconscious and they can destroy you. Not intending that, but that is how it comes out. And we find a lot of the children in that situation. So when a sponsor is able to come alongside a child, writing to them and encouraging them, it makes a massive difference to them. Massive, massive difference to them. So thank you so much for writing to the children. I have a little video that I want to share with us this morning.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness,
It is extraordinary what God is doing in the church here, to see churches that are full of young men and young women and children, hundreds of children, and pastors and volunteers and staff just working so hard to share the love of God with such passion and such integrity.
The church is the soul, and of course the light. To provide healing, to bring hope in the otherwise very challenging time. Where is God? Things may be difficult, but where is God? Here in Chibuni, there are a number of fishermen, which is what most of the people see, and sometimes they forget their families. And that means child neglect, families are without proper support. Children end up dropping out of school and sometimes broken homes.
We in our community there is a lot of drug abuse, there is prostitution, you cannot be able to go to school, you cannot feed your family. Yeah, when you're poor, you lose hope, you feel there is no future for you.
This partnership with Compassion has been running since 2013. We come as Eco Party to serve the community, to find a way to affect the church, to enable it to fulfill its role in society, and to understand the place children play.
So we are at the project, Signature Young Educator, to do a holistic child development. That is cognitive, social, spiritual, and physical. We help the child to develop holistic. So when they come here and you protect that child from harm, you show them that there is someone who loves you, someone cares about you. Yeah. So when Compassion focuses on dealing with poverty, it's helping this child to be self-sustained. For me, when I see the child smile and they are happy playing, yeah, I feel so happy. Yeah, and when I see them when they have been this little and they graduate out of the program when they are somewhere, that makes me very excited.
There's just so much potential wrapped up in every young life, and it just goes to show you that with the right support and with community around, like, honestly, transformation is possible.
We've heard everybody that we've met say being part of the Compassion Project has made me feel loved. And I think, wow, what a picture of the church, fully alive, fully aware, fully living here, active, changing lives.
If your mission is to be changed, I think it is important to begin with children. Once children have known their Lord and Savior, and they are allowed to trust and to see work in their life, you are sure tomorrow's nation will be.
And these are the lovely faces of the 19 children that have been supported in this church. So thank you so much, Brixham Community Church, for your commitment, your donations, and your support, your prayers invested in these lovely ones that God has called us to serve. I know that these children are going to grow and they are going to serve their communities well. And someday when we meet in heaven, I'm sure there'll be good testimonies coming from these children, because people from this side of the world partnered with their local church to bring them the support that they so need. I'm going to move on to the next thing for this morning quickly. As a church, there is a new opportunity for us to come alongside Compassion to do more, to support families and young people and pregnant mothers and newborns living in extreme poverty. Now, for the next year, we are looking to help these mothers to give them a better chance of safe delivery and giving the children the best first days, few days of life before they grow up to become the adults that God wants them to be. Now, this is done through our child survival program. And our child survival program is the first phase of Compassion's child and youth development model. So what it does is that it comes alongside the local church to give pregnant mothers, mothers with newborn babies, the training, education, and the medical support, financial support that they need to make sure that they are giving the very best to their newborns and their unborn babies, to give them the very best chance to life. So as you can see here, Compassion survival intervention reduces mortality among mothers. Now, mortality rates among mothers in Africa can be scary sometimes, purely out of ignorance. Most of it will be out of ignorance. The Bible says that for lack of knowledge, the people perish. And again, let me refer to my own experience as a recent father having a six-month-old baby. I remember when my wife took seed and she was pregnant. She didn't realize it until a few weeks after, and she became very nervous, saying, would I have missed some very important interventions? Because I know here in the UK, we are very, very good with helping mothers, you know, in the very first few weeks of pregnancy, giving medications that will help to ensure that that child is growing well in a way that when they are birthed, physically they are okay, intellectually, they come out okay as well. Unfortunately, elsewhere in Africa, that's not the case. So I'll share a very quick story of Betty, who had a baby girl. Now, this baby girl that Betty had, Betty is from Rwanda, by the way, was born with spinal bifida or something like that. Good, you know what I'm talking about. And apparently, I was having a conversation with my wife, and she said, oh, this could have been prevented had she received things like folic acid. Very simple things that could have prevented that situation. But that opportunity was missed to help her in that way. Now, because of that, she has to live with a child who has that condition. And the amount of money and time that she has to put into going back and forth to the hospital to make sure that she's giving the child the very best. You think about it and you're like, this could have been avoided, but for lack of knowledge, the people find themselves in difficult situations. So we come alongside mothers, pregnant mothers, new mothers, to help them with education, to train them, to help them with the financial support they need, to help them you know, learn income generating skills so that they can be self-sustaining over the long term. Through interventions, we are able to provide vulnerable mothers with quality pre and postnatal care, which is very important. I saw how my wife was taken care of in this country. I was like, oh, we are very spoiled. It's a good thing. It's not a critique. It's a very good thing. That at the time she was giving birth, there were six people in one room with her, medical professionals, trying to help her. I'm like, that's good. Finding one in the places where we come from is difficult. So to have that kind of support is amazing. So that is what the local church in partnership with Compassion does for these mothers in the field countries where we work. Making sure we provide all of these basic necessities to ensure that the children, that the babies that are born in poverty get the very best start to life. Empowering mothers in extreme poverty by teaching them income generation activities. I promise you, I'm going to show you another video. It's shorter than the first one, and that will be the last video I'll show you. So if you're thinking I'm talking too much, this will be the last one before I finish.
Our problem in this community is teenage pregnancy, and then maternal death and child's death. So they registered for this survival program. We registered these mothers,
they go to the antenatal, they get more education on how to cater for the baby while they are not born. And when these babies are born, they get these vaccinations for them, they weigh them, and they know whether their growth is okay. We educate them on series of things that they have to do to get these children alive.
And they say, no, 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 no,
because we see unemployment as a challenge in the community, we take them through a series of livelihood skills. We're taking them through the bakery, how to use flour in making any products they want to. So we're giving them all these skills that they can do it and sell it, and then depend on the proceeds that come out of it.
For impact to happen, it depends on the person's readiness to change. We do that in education. We believe that it transforms them. It gives them a lot of information they need to put it into practice and to bring certain changes into their life.
We need one more about that because we don't mind the new one. It is a matter of time to see. Then we need to go.
If they have a smile on their face, it's because of their support. They are very grateful to them.
Babies are beautiful, aren't they? Why are these interventions so important? And because I have all of the information on the slide, I'm not going to seek to read everything, but just to add to what my colleague shared in the video, by the way, that video, most of it was from Ghana, where I'm from, so I know the people in there, and I could understand the language they were speaking as well. So around 45% of deaths among children under the age of 5 years old, they are all linked to undernutrition. And as I mentioned in the story of Betty, if your child has that kind of condition, it might not necessarily always lead to death, but it means that a long life of suffering sometimes. And some of these can be avoided, they can be prevented. Those that we have no control over, we know God will come alongside the families to help them. But those that we can avoid, in as much as possible, we want to stand in with the families and help them prevent those from happening through the interventions that we give them. So, as you can see on the slide, the first 1,000 days from conception is very critical. I didn't know this before, you know. I thought it was after the babies are born into the world, that's when you can, you know, have the most impact on them. But if you want to safeguard the physical and the intellectual well-being of a child, apparently you have to catch that window of the first 1,000 days to make that impact in their lives. So my dad is very tall, and unfortunately I'm not, and I think they missed something in the first 1,000 days. And I'm not very happy with them. So we don't want to miss such opportunities with the children that we minister to in Compassion. Every opportunity to give them the very best start to life, we want to be there to be a part of it. On average, children who are stunted will earn 20% less as adults. When I read these statistics, I was asking myself, not probably at the height that I'm supposed to be, probably I'm stunted as well. Am I any less than I should be earning? But what I do, I love with all my heart because it's a ministry that I've always prayed to be a part of. But that aside, if a child misses an opportunity to grow to their full potential, to be able to do all that God created them to be, then we are missing something. We are missing us as a whole unit. Their communities will be missing what God was actually intending to achieve through that child for that community. And we want to bridge that gap. I mentioned about Richmond, who is now become a pastor, and ministering in his own community, in the church that he was in the program at, ministering to thousands of pastors across West Africa. I think we got the opportunity to minister to Richmond at the time that we needed to. Mm-hmm. And that impact is being felt today in the country where he lives. Mm-hmm. So we want to come alongside the local churches in where we work, in Rwanda, in Ghana, across the globe, to really help establish these programs. So a successful child survival program is rooted in family planning. And to be able to achieve this, we have to ensure that we are giving the necessary training to the care providers and the care the parents themselves, the mothers themselves. And to do this, it takes time, it takes money, it takes training. Compassion sends experts to the field to train people. We use local people, but we want to make sure that their training is of standard to be able to help the mothers in a very good way to make sure that we are safeguarding the future for the children that we minister to. So for us as a church, there is this wonderful new opportunity for us that in the next year, we'll be supporting a project in Rwanda. That is the name of the project there. And I want to hazard a guess at mentioning the name. Honestly speaking, I'm not from Rwanda, I'm from Ghana, so that's a mouthful. And if I'm from Africa and I'm struggling to mention the name, then I can imagine it would be a difficult one for you. But let's just call it GCD. Is that okay? GCD, that's what the name of the project is. And this project is in Rwanda. The wonderful news is that we're going to bring support to 30 mothers and babies who will participate in the program. And we are able to do this because, as a church, John has told us that you're going to help these mothers with your support in donations. And over the next year, it's going to cost us 11,000 plus to fund this intervention. So we would be supporting these mothers, and they'll be getting everything from healthcare, workshops, and the community to, you know, the network that they have, and the hope that it brings, you know, having someone to speak to, not being isolated and not feeling alone. Because most of these young mothers are people who in many ways have been rejected by their family because they would find themselves being teenage people who are not expected to get pregnant. But the cycle of poverty is a crazy one in that a young lady goes out to hawk to make money for upkeeping. And then that is when they are found vulnerable and taken advantage by other people. And then they get pregnant, bring children into the world that they cannot afford to care for. Young ladies have been raped because they put themselves out there to be the breadwinner for the families that they are part of. And as a result of that, become pregnant and bring children into the world that they cannot take care of. Mm. So we want to help these mothers out of that situation. We want to help them with healthcare. We want to help them in a safe environment where we give them training workshops with income generation activities so that they don't necessarily go back to the streets, but they are able to do something meaningful within their communities to make some income for themselves and for their children. So we are inviting you as a church. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure John will be reminding us as a church to give to this program to help us come alongside pregnant mothers and newborn babies to give them the very best start to life. On that note, I want to say a very big thank you as a church on my own behalf and on behalf of Compassion International and the many mothers and children that we minister to. Thank you so much, because what you are doing is truly amazing. You are making a massive difference in the lives of people that you've not met. You probably will not meet in person, but hopefully you're meeting them via the letters that they write to you, and you're able to connect to them in prayer as well. Thank you so much. God truly bless you for the impact you're making in our world. Thank you. Thank you.